From the Utah School Counselors Association, this is The Sounding Board, where school counselors share ideas. I'm Nate Webb, school counselor, USCA board member, and every week I'll be speaking with different counselors and professionals that will be giving us valuable information in our counseling world. We cannot wait for you to hear these ideas. Let's get to it. What is up, everybody, and welcome back to The Sounding Board from the Utah School Counselors Association. It's your host, Nate Webb, and welcome to this bonus episode, this wonderful Spring Friday. First off, I want to check in. How's everybody doing? We are getting so close to the end of the school year, and I know this time of year can be incredibly stressful for so many different reasons. I know right now there's a lot of uncertainty in the realm of public education. A lot of changes are happening and a lot of different things that you may or may not agree with happening at the state level that can be really difficult. Every school has its own struggles and it can be stressful as a counselor being in a school that supports or doesn't support things that align or don't align with your values and with your ethical values, what you believe or don't believe school counselors should be doing. And we want, as counselors of the great state of Utah, we want you as Utah's counselors to be able to freely think and to be able to make informed decisions so that you can help your school be on a path that you feel like is beneficial towards all students in your school. And so, as we all know, Utah just wrapped up its legislative session, and the Utah Board of Education has made some changes as well, right? The Utah model changed to a components list, and some other things changed. And USCA, with our last episode that we released just a few days ago, we voiced our support of these changes with some concerns about the verbiage. And if you want to know specifics, you can listen to the episode. It was a good episode. But I figured this would be a good time to talk about how we as counselors can go about making change where we feel change needs to be made. Because change doesn't happen if we don't say anything about it. If we feel like change needs to be said, there is a right way to go about it. Now, that being said, there was a wonderful article in the Utah School Counselor email newsletter that you get if you're a member of the Utah School Counselors Association about school policies and creating necessary change. And so we're going to be going over that article. I'm going to be reading over it, dissecting it for you guys, and going all over that. But before we dive in, please be sure to share this episode, leave a 5-star review, and hit that follow button so you never miss a podcast episode. So let's dive in. This article is called Harmful School Policies Creating Necessary Change by Alicia Oglesby and Rebecca Adkins, March of 2024. You know, it starts off saying school policies are the rules that govern how students, faculty, staff, and families are expected to behave and interact with school community. School policies are needed for safety, school culture and climate, and just general wellness, which is totally correct. Over time, policies should shift and change to meet the needs of the school community. And as school counselors, we can play a critical role in assuring schools are creating and maintaining policies that benefit all the members of their community while reducing harm. Policy audits are an opportunity to critically analyze and potentially dismantle rules, practices, and processes that disproportionately harm groups of students. Critical analysis involves the questioning of what happens in your school. Think of the stories you may have heard from students and families, or the data you have collected from your student information system. Form questions about the policies at your school that stand out, that may be complaints from female students that the dress code policy is unfair, or data that students with learning differences are not being proportionately represented in rigorous courses. Hold the policy you have identified in your mind as you read, and then as we go together, we're going to outline some steps you can take to advocate for change within your school. Because we all know we do have some policies that are outdated. The realm of education is a realm that is largely outdated in a lot of different things. Every single the practice changes every few years, but it feels like education's kind of stayed the same for a really long time. And so we all know there's policies we don't agree with. And if there's a policy that you feel is detrimental to the students, here's how we can go about making change. So here's some action steps. First, choose a policy. Perhaps you're not sure where to start. Consider a policy or practice that you've heard complaints about from students, seen relevant data that's disproportionate, or even that you just don't think really works well. Next, you need to ask and listen. Talk to the students, the families, the colleagues, and leaders about what they notice about the policy or practice, and then listen, like really listen, to what they say about their experiences. Gather anecdotal data to share with decision makers. Discovering how policies harm students require brave honesty about the impact of rules in the lives of the students. And be open and aware that as part of the system, we are also part of what might be causing harm. So we need to take a lot of the emotion out of things and stay willing to confront the idea in order to create change. Oftentimes when people have an issue with a policy, we get really defensive because we are part of the system and we take it as a personal attack. And we need to take that out of our thinking. It is not an attack on us. We are trying to help fix things. We are trying to help solutions. And part of that is accepting the problems that might exist within our systems. So first, you need to ask and listen. Second, you need to collect data. Schools function on data, so collect as much quantitative data as you can. Show the disproportionately or relate the policy or practice to outcomes. Does the data show that girls are more likely to be dress coded? Or does the school registration process mean that not all students have access to higher level courses? Whatever it might be, paint the picture as clearly as possible and as accurately as possible. Do not put language in there that really shows your opinion, that shows how emotionally charged and passionate you are about this, because emotion is not facts. The facts don't care about your feelings. And so you need to show the facts and show why the facts are in support of whatever you're trying to change. So after you listen, ask and listen, you collect some data. Gather your team. Have you ever heard the phrase that that's how it's always been done? You know, we hear that a lot as school counselors. School counselors are trained to reevaluate, but dismantling policies can be a really arduous task. You know, enroll the assistance of other school faculty, staff, administrators, students, families to strengthen your efforts. The wider of a population that you use that is affected, the better of a voice you will have in trying to make change. If it's just a school counselor, you're only coming at it from the perspective of a school counselor. For example, low enrollment of multilingual students in the gifted program does not mean those students are not gifted or not interested, but rather that the tools measuring giftedness are not capturing multilingual giftedness. Your team should recognize the distinction. And the system impacting your students is usually the source. You know, there's always something that we can improve on. There's always something that we can help. And so after you gather your team up, you have the population, you know, in mind that you're wanting to serve. And so you grab people from the affected populations. You have a good perspective on everything. Consider your influence. When working for change, we often make the mistake of focusing on people who are either very resistant or not very interested in the change. Your key players in any work are those who are interested in the outcome and have a high level of influence on the outcome itself. Work to move decision makers into a higher level of interest if they are not there already. For example, your administration may be more interested in changing the registration process when they see test scores and AP honors enrollment can be increased. Don't expect decision makers to naturally agree with what you think is important. Sometimes we have to explicitly make the connection for them. That's why I said earlier, the facts don't care about your feelings. We can't expect decision makers and people just to agree with us because, well, we are counselors and we have good ethics, so they should believe us, right? We all have different feelings and opinions and even ethics, I dare say. And so we need to show the data. We need to make the connection for them so they can see why this is something good that we want to change, whatever that change might be. Now, as always, there is going to be resistance. When prioritizing efforts to create changes within an institution that may be resistant, be mindful to start small. Understanding the reaction of your school community is vital to success. You can't come out guns a-blazing and expect everyone to be on board. Buy-in can often make the process of change more collaborative. Resist the impulse to change everything all at once by coming to terms with gradual and consistent change. It's okay to be okay with baby steps. It's okay to be okay with a little bit of change, a little bit at a time. Gradual, consistent change is a daily commitment by change makers to see a better school community through everyday efforts. And this differs from incremental change, which often moves at a pace at least invested by community members. Take a step at a time, but don't stop. And so, and then lastly, just reflect. Be open to the possibility that your ideas may not work or may inflict different types of harm. Evaluation is key. Stay in contact with students and families to gauge the impact of change and be ready to make changes from your original plan. Continue to collect and interpret data through a social justice lens. Now, I really don't like that term social justice hero because there's such a negative connotation to it, because oftentimes the social justice warriors online are the same people that are, you know, spreading a lot of hate and different things as well through their speech online. But interpret it through a social equity lens. Schools are ever-growing and evolving places where school counselors contribute to the overall wellness of a community. We must look for everything. We must both work within the system and change the system to make schools a better place for all students. So, and just as a note, Alicia Oglesberry is an associate director of college counseling with Winchester, Pittsburgh, and Rebecca Adkins is a director of school counseling with Chapel Hill, Carbo City Schools. They are the authors of this article that I just went over. So there you guys go. This is some good stuff. If you guys are wanting to change policy, there's some good action steps to think about. Ask and listen, collect data, gather your team, consider your influence, handle the resistance, and then reflect and see what changes we can make to make our schools a better place. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of The Sounding Board from the Utah School Counselors Association. And thank you so much for making your school a better place to work at. We need good school counselors like you. And change doesn't happen unless people like you make it happen. I hope you all have a wonderful day, and we will see you on the next one. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Sounding Board. Email The Sounding Board at utschoolcounselor.org to send us your questions and ideas. If you like our podcast, please rate and review our show. It helps other school counselors to find us. Links and additional information for any references from today's episode are in our show notes. Check out our website at utschoolcounselor.org, where you can listen to past podcast episodes, register for any of our professional development opportunities, and become a member of the Utah School Counselors Association. USCA members also receive a bi-monthly newsletter to stay up to date on current Utah school counseling news, events, and issues. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Utah School Counselor and on Twitter at USCA Tweets. The mission of the Utah School Counselors Association is to support professional school counselors in their work for students through advocacy, professional development, recognition, and support. This podcast would not be possible without the support of our members. We'll have more ideas to share with you next week. Let's go!